The friar is a cleric, but not much of a man of God. A member of a mendicant order who lived on what they could get by begging, he has become a professional beggar, the best fundraiser in his friary, because of some special skills, personal charm, a good singing voice, an attractive little lisp, a talent for mending quarrels and having the right little gift for the ladies, and a forgiving way in the confessional, especially when he expects a generous donation. He finds good economic reason to cultivate the company of the rich rather than the poor, who are supposed to be the friar's special concern. At the end of The Wife of Bath's very long prologue, our friar, if you remember, laughingly said, "This was a long preamble of a tale." The summoner rebuked him for interjecting himself at all, and made some insulting remarks about friars in general, and this friar in particular. The angry response of the friar promised an unflattering tale about summoners, which we come to now as the confrontation is renewed at the end of the wife's tale. This creation of antagonisms between characters is one of the best examples of Chaucer's semi-dramatic arrangement of tales and tellers. The stories told by friar and summoner are made to spring out of personal animosities, and this confrontation is especially well set up, for it allows Chaucer's satire of some aspects of his society to appear to come from the mouths of the very types who are being satirized, rather than from any moralist, whether the author or someone else. The Friar's Tale is really an extended gloss on the word summoner. A summoner delivered summonses to people to appear at the ecclesiastical court when accused of public immorality. The job offered opportunities for serious abuse, such as extortion, bribery, and blackmail, especially of those who went with prostitutes, who were all in the summoner's pay, and many of whom he used himself. The pilgrim summoner's disgusting physical appearance is meant to suggest both the fruits of his sexual promiscuity and his wretched spiritual condition. One day, the friar tells us in his tale, a summoner, on his way to extort the last few pennies from a poor old widow on a false charge, runs into the devil disguised as a bailiff. Both swear eternal brotherhood and swap confidences, in the course of which the summoner boasts to the devil about his vices, an ironic and unintended parody of sacramental confession. But here boastfulness replaces contrition. So the bailiff gan a little for to smile, as well he might, for when he reveals that he is the devil, the summoner does not turn in flight. He is just mildly surprised and curious about conditions in hell. Well, he himself is something like sin incarnate, so why should he be surprised at seeing a mirror image of himself? What perhaps surprises the reader is that the bailiff devil is both more of a gentleman and more of an orthodox Christian theologian than the summoner. He knows that only those are damned who damn themselves. As he says more than once in different ways, "I ride about my purchasing, to wit, to learn, if men will give me anything." This point is made with humorous clarity in the central incident with the carter who curses his cart horses to hell and the devil. But the devil will not take the horses because he knows that the carter does not mean it. His cuss words do not really express his intent, a word that crops up about 6 times in this short tale, emphasizing the major point which the summoner never gets. Another word that recurs throughout the story even more frequently than intent is brother, and its derivative, brotherhood. The summoner is a true brother to the devil, and nothing can break that bond. At the end of the tale, the friar drops easily into his natural role as a preacher, who professes to know a good deal about hell, a claim that the pilgrim summoner seizes upon with relish as he starts his counter-attack. But first, back to the beginning, where the quarrel between the friar and the summoner is resumed after its interruption during the wife of Bath's narrative. You will notice that there are three different pronunciations of friar, the purely French frère, and the English derivatives frère and friar. The reader of the friar's tale is George Guidel.